So good evening, everyone. To start with, again tonight, I'd just like to open it up for any comments or questions or any reports about what happened during the week. Did anyone try the eating meditation? You did? Anybody willing to talk about what happened for that?
It's hard.
In what way? What did you find?
Well, I mean, it's just hard not to go off on all these thoughts and forget about your breathing and forget why you're sitting there. Yeah.
It is hard. But that's definitely just the practice. Just bring yourself back over and over again.
And not to say it's bad.
Right. It's not bad.
No.
It's just what it. That's the way the mind is. It just tends to be unruly.
Thank you.
I don't know anyone for whom it's not hard. Did anyone try the suggestion of using an event that happens regularly in your day to try to bring the mindfulness through your day? Was that helpful to anyone?
I think I was more aware of taste when I tried it before. When I first sat down to eat.
Yeah.
I tried letting my phone ring three times, and twice people hung up before I ate.
I must have trained people by now. Everybody lets my phone ring four times. How did it affect your when they didn't hang up?
It was actually a good phone race. I enjoyed both.
Okay, if you're quiet tonight, we can start with the sitting then. So we'll do, towards the end of the sitting, we'll have a guided meditation on getting in touch with emotions. So I'll just guide you through that, and it will be an exercise. So just start by taking a reasonably comfortable and upright, alert posture. And close your eyes. And just take a moment to check in with yourself right now. What mood are you in? Just an overall sense of your mood right now. And let go of that and just start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Connect to the body in a sense of presence on the in-breath. And see if you can let go and relax on the out-breath. Now let your breathing return to normal. And let your attention open to sounds. Notice the sounds in the room, the sounds outside. The sound of my voice. There's no way to know what sound is coming next. Just let the sounds wash over you. There's no need to work to hear. Just let the body do the work. Let the body hear the sounds. And let them come and go. Now let go of hearing and bring your attention into your body. Pay attention to your body as a whole, the uprightness of your posture, any obvious pressure points. And within the sensations of the body, become aware of the sensations that tell you that you're breathing. Take an interest in how the breathing affects the body. What parts of the body move or respond to the breathing. Let your attention settle wherever the sensations of breathing are most obvious. And let yourself feel the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. See if you can hold the attention steady, but not in a rigid or forced way. It can be helpful to note in and out, or rising, falling, to help the mind stay with the sensations. If the mind wanders, acknowledge that it's wandered, and then relax. And if it's easy, let go of the thoughts and just return to the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself sleepy, you might try slightly emphasizing the in-breath, the energizing qualities of breathing in. If you find yourself agitated, just let yourself focus on the out-breath and the relaxing qualities of the release of the out-breath. let go of the attention to the breathing and gently let yourself become aware of how you are feeling emotionally. What mood or state of mind is present for you? It might be obvious or it might be subtle. You might feel calm or impatient, sad or happy, irritated, delighted, anxious, contented, frustrated, bored, peaceful, numb, upbeat, flat, indifferent, amused. If you can find an emotion, softly acknowledge its presence and see if you can allow it to simply be there with an accepting attitude. Give it permission to be here, whatever it is. Let yourself explore in the body. What sensations in the body accompany the emotion? Can you find a physical correlate for the emotion? You might feel some sensations in your head or heart or in your torso, in your hands or face. If you can find a physical correlate of the emotion, let your attention rest in the physical sensations. Keep track of what happens to the mood as you pay attention to it. Does it get stronger or weaker? Feel bigger or smaller? It doesn't matter how it changes. Just notice that it changes. If the emotion you're paying attention to disappears, just see what replaces it. What's the next mood or emotion that appears? of your attention to the mood or emotion. For the last minute of the sitting, return your attention to the breathing. See how completely and thoroughly you can let your awareness be present for the sensations of breathing. Can everyone hear me? So for the purposes of mindfulness, it doesn't really matter what we pay attention to. Gil likes to give an analogy that mindfulness is like sharpening a knife. And you can use many different whetstones to sharpen the knife with. It doesn't really matter what the stone is. The end result is that the knife will end up sharp. What matters is that the knife stays in contact with the stone. So likewise, with mindfulness practice, we can cultivate or hone our mindfulness on any object of awareness, or even a series of different objects. What matters is that the attention is steady through time, whether it's steady on a single object over time or steady on a series of changing objects. The continuity of the mindfulness is what's important for cultivating the mindfulness. But we can be somewhat skilled, perhaps, at paying attention to one object, like the breathing, and then find ourselves swept away by a storm of anger. So it's helpful in our practice to start to cultivate the ability to be present for many different kinds of objects. And so tonight I'm going to talk about paying attention to emotions. So there was one story of the Buddha talking to his followers, and he says, when an ordinary run-of-the-mill person, feels pleasant sensations and unpleasant sensations and neutral sensations. And an enlightened person feels pleasant sensations and unpleasant sensations and neutral sensations. So what's the difference between these two? And his follower said, tell us. And he said, when an ordinary run-of-the-mill person experiences an unpleasant sensation, he weeps and wails and beats his breast and grieves and sorrows. And when an enlightened person feels a painful sensation, he feels a painful sensation. So this is essentially a story of reactivity. Oh, sorry, I forgot one point here. He gave an analogy for the ordinary person, that it's just as if the ordinary person has been struck by an arrow, and then they were struck by a second arrow. And that second arrow makes the pain worse. And likewise, he says that the reaction, the weeping and wailing and grieving and sorrowing, is like a second arrow to our experience. It's more painful to add that onto our experience. So this is the story of reactivity. And the Buddha is telling us that our life is going to give us unpleasant experience. And that may be the ending of a pleasant experience, or even the fear that a pleasant experience will end. So we typically react to unpleasant experience by pushing it away. We react to pleasant experience by trying to hold on to it so it won't go away. So, for example, if you cut yourself with a knife, there's going to be the pain of the cut. And I did this about a year ago. I cut my finger and actually had to go get stitches in it. And I didn't quite just stop there. You know, I actually was like, how could I be so stupid not to see where the knife was going to go when it slipped? That was the second arrow. So we typically do that. We typically react to our painful experience. The body is meant to produce painful sensations when it's injured. And there's no need, actually, to add an emotional reaction to that. We can take care of our bodies without having that reactivity. So the reactivity, in spite of what we think, is actually not necessary. And a great deal of suffering in our lives results from reacting to pleasant and unpleasant experience. So understanding this cycle of reactivity is really helpful as we start to pay attention to emotions, because very often emotions come out of reaction. Emotions are very often reactions to our experience, whether they are reactions to a physical experience, as I described with cutting yourself with the knife, or they may be reactions to other emotions. We often don't just stop with an emotion. For instance, if we're angry at something, we may be judgmental about ourselves for being angry, and then get frustrated at ourselves for being judgmental, and then hate ourselves for being frustrated. And we can just kind of cascade these emotions. And it just follows one after the other. We don't stop at a second arrow. We add a third, a fourth, a 15th, a 100th arrow to our experience. So a lot of people have a kind of a sense of certain emotions being acceptable and some emotions being unacceptable. And even just that idea is a little bit of reactivity to the emotions. So, for instance, grief. If we're grieving because of the loss of a very dear friend or family member, it's very natural that we have that experience. And yet after some number of months, we might get the sense or feeling that I should be over this by now. So there's a judgment there, and it's a reaction to the grief, as opposed to just feeling the grief and letting it be at that. There's no need to add extra levels of judgment or reaction. Or anger. A lot of people have been taught that anger is wrong, and so we feel like there's something wrong with us, or that we're bad or evil somehow for being angry. Or loneliness or sadness. These emotions can feel unpleasant for us, and there can be a sense of not wanting to feel that unpleasantness, to resist it and to push it away. So in mindfulness practice, when emotions arise, we just simply try to let them be. We don't necessarily look for emotions in our mindfulness practice. As I guided you in the guided meditation, that was an exercise to actually look for emotions. But as you're paying attention to your breathing, if some emotion gets strong, you can, as with the physical sensation, if a physical sensation gets strong, you can let go of the breathing and attend to the physical sensation. If an emotional sensation pushes itself into the foreground of your attention, and you find there's kind of a tug, a push and pull, with it being difficult to stay with the breathing, let go of the breathing and bring your attention to the emotion. So we try to attend to our emotions as they are, but, you know, we will find that we react to them. So, you know, it's not necessary to beat yourself up for that reaction either. So the goal of mindfulness practice is to wake up where you are, wherever that is. If you have woken up in the middle of a huge storm of reactivity, that's what you pay attention to. Wow, I'm reacting. This is an amazing chaos of emotions here. There's no need, actually, in mindfulness to try to trace back where the original emotion came from. Just pay attention to what's happening right now. Whatever it is, whether it's the sixth arrow or the 16th or the 136th arrow, it doesn't matter. Just wake up where you are right now. Mindfulness can develop to the point where we actually start to see the initial movement of reactivity of the mind before we even react. But the task of mindfulness always is to wake up where we are. So if that's in the middle of reactivity, that's what we pay attention to. So it's helpful to be very accepting of our emotions and accepting of how hard it is to be present for them. But we do need to take care to not let that quality of acceptance of emotion be a kind of subtle feeding of the emotion. So, you know, if you're feeling a storm of anger, to think, oh, well, I'm really supposed to feel this anger, and, you know, start to think the thoughts and just turn it up. That's not so much the idea. But just to let it be in the body and in the mind, and to try not to feed it. So in mindfulness practice, we try to practice a middle way with respect to emotions. We don't try to repress them, but nor do we express them. So we don't try to deny them, nor do we act them out during our practice. So one of the best ways to do this is to bring the attention into the body to see what the immediacy of the emotion is in the physical experience of our body. And to disengage as much as possible from the content of the thoughts, the narrative, the ideas, the recollections and plans that are all wound up around the emotion. To let go as much as possible of the narrative of this or the story around the emotion. Emotions, especially strong emotions, have a very strong pull on us. It feels like they're saying, pay attention to me. And I think they are saying, pay attention to me. But the way that we have learned to pay attention to emotions typically is by going over that narrative over and over and over again. We somehow think that by going over the narrative, we will figure out how we can change what happened in the past so that it's not happening anymore. It seems like this a kind of a magical thinking almost. Or if we don't think that, we at least think if I review it over and over again, it's not going to happen again somehow. So that's our tendency, that's our training in terms of paying attention to emotions, is to engage more deeply into the narrative. So if we remain engaged in the narrative of the emotion, what tends to happen is it fuels the emotion. It self-perpetuates itself by engaging with the narrative. So rather than really paying attention to it, we're kind of consumed by it. So what we try to do in mindfulness practice is to learn to pay attention to our emotions in another way, to let go of the object of our attention as much as possible, and to bring the attention back into what does it feel like here in this body, in this mind, to be feeling this emotion. So, for example, if you're angry with somebody, typically all of our energy is directed to the person or thing that we're angry with. That's where all of our attention goes, to that, it goes outside of us, to that object and to the stories that are surrounding that object. So what we're asked to do in mindfulness practice is to disengage our attention from the thing that we're angry about and turn the attention back into ourselves and see what is it like here? What is anger about? oh, it's like this. This is what anger is like. So emotions do want to be experienced. And if we give them a chance to just feel them and let them express themselves without feeding them, they live their lives. An emotion is just like anything else. It has a life. It arises, it stays for a while, and it dissipates. And what the mindfulness practice allows is for that life to live in a very natural way, that the emotions, whether pleasant or unpleasant, whether blissful or painful, will appear, stay for a while, and disappear. And the mindfulness just allows us to be present for them as they are. So I have an example of this, a personal story of this from one of my retreats, where I was doing walking meditation. And during the walking meditation, I really began to notice how much I wanted to look at the people around me. And on these retreat practices, we try to contain our senses as much as possible, so we're instructed not to look around as much as possible during the formal practice. And so during the walking meditation, I was really, you know, focused about 6 feet on the ground in front of me, keeping my eyes down there, and just noticing how much I wanted to look at the people who were walking with me. And at first, I was just completely, you know, kind of locked. I had my face and my head locked in this position. I'm not going to look. And I was just kind of forcing myself. So I wasn't really noticing the wanting. I kind of noticed it and said, nope. And after a while, I began to realize, oh, you know, actually what's happening here is wanting. And when I started to pay attention to the wanting, I began to notice something very interesting. I mean, before, I had sort of thought the wanting was just there all the time. And what I began to notice is that as I paid attention to the wanting itself, I noticed that as soon as a person appeared in my peripheral vision, the wanting appeared. And then they would walk by, and there was all the wanting, and it got really strong. I really wanted to look at them. And then when they, you know, maybe walked in front of me and then went into a door, as soon as they disappeared, the wanting disappeared. And then maybe another person would appear and another wanting would appear. And so for a while, it was like, cool, you know, it was like, wow, look at that. The wanting just poof, it disappeared. And after a while, I got into it. You know, it was kind of fun to pay attention to the wanting, especially the disappearing part. And then I began to notice actually the wanting, the feeling of wanting in the body was unpleasant. And as I began to notice that feeling of wanting was unpleasant, there was just this movement of mine that says, well, this is just going to disappear in a second when this person disappears. I don't need to hold on to this, to wait until they disappear, to have this go away. And it wasn't, I mean, that's kind of the experience of what happened. It wasn't that I thought through it and said, oh, I can let go of this. It just let go at one point, realizing the painfulness of the wanting itself. It just, the mind just let go of that wanting. And this experience that I'm talking about unfolded over the course of several days. This isn't like over 30 minutes or something. But from that point on in the retreat, and this was a long retreat, a 3-month retreat, that same wanting of really wanting to look around just didn't arise again. It was very natural to just keep my attention in front of me and not be pulled to look around. So that was an experience where just paying attention to the wanting, I saw it just eventually over the course of a couple of days, it let go by itself. So there's three basic components to an emotion. There's the thoughts that surround the emotion, or the narrative, the story of surrounding the emotion. There's the physical aspect of the emotion. And most emotions have some kind of a physical correlate in the body. It's often how we even know that the emotion is happening, those physical sensations. And the third aspect is an emotional mood or tone in the mind. It's like putting a pair of colored glasses on. It shades our experience. And this can be subtle or it can be obvious. So, for example, with fear, the emotional mood, at least in my experience, the emotional mood is a sense of, it's just like, get out of here. You know, it's just this sense of the mind just kind of wanting to leave. Or with joy, my sense is a feeling of lightness. The mind feels very light. So we can attend to any of these aspects of the emotion, the story or the physical sensation or the mood in the mind. But it can be challenging to pay attention to the narrative because it so often catches us and pulls us in, and we lose our mindfulness as we get engaged in the thought process around the emotion. So the thoughts connected with the emotion almost always have to do with the past or the future. It's really amazing, actually, as we start to pay attention to our emotional life and begin to see these thoughts that surround our emotions, how much of our life is lived in these thoughts of the past and the future. It's actually, we're not often actually reacting to something we're experiencing, and we're not having an emotion so much about something we're experiencing in the present moment. Often emotion arises because we've thought of something we did yesterday or something we might do tomorrow. So we'll be talking about paying attention to thoughts next week, but I'll give you just a little bit of a preview here, and that is that when we pay attention to thoughts in meditation, we don't pay attention to the content of the thoughts. We pay attention to the process of thinking. So in mindfulness meditation, in the meditation practice itself, when you're sitting or walking in formal practice, it's best if you can, if at all possible, let go of the contents of your thinking in preference for being with sensations in the body or the experience of what the mind feels like, a sense of just, there can be just this sense of no, or it's the mind is kind of inarticulate, actually, in its moods. So on one retreat, I skipped ahead. So if you can, when you're paying attention to emotions and the content comes up, just see if you can let go of the content. And I'm not saying that this is the way to live your life, because we need our thoughts in our lives, and we do need to think about how we're going to respond to people and what we're going to say to people. But I'm just suggesting during your meditation practice to see if we can let go of that incredible habit, because we have a lot of practice with that habit. So what we're trying to do is to retrain the mind to attend to things in a different way.